Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Welcome to the jungle, baby. How are ya?
It is no jungle here in Seattle. That is for sure. We're darn sure.
It's not even. It's my jungle. It's Siouxville, remember?
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it.
Siouxville. How are you today, babe?
Doing very well. It's great here in the Pacific Northwest. Mixed rain and snow showers. I'm going to throw it right back to you, other than it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yep. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. You know what just popped into my head was a red sweater and...
Oh, well, that's Mr. Anyway. Rogers, of course.
That
yes.
would be Mr. Uh-huh. Rogers. Yeah. It is. Well, thank you, Benny. And sorry for the delay for all of you. There was some YouTube-ish stuff, but thank God I have... Whatever.
No. Not YouTube. We'll call them technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Yeah, okay, we're going to roll with that. I totally understand. All right. Benny, thank you, sweetheart. And good morning to everybody. We have got, like always, I'm always excited about my guests. And of course, we are live radio. I want to remind everybody, we are live radio in the Pacific Northwest, broadcast through KKNW, AM 1150, and that's Hubber Broadcasting. We've got over 60,000 plus listeners and listenership, in addition to simultaneously launching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find all of that information if you want to see us, and also see us still live during the commercial break. You can see us on YouTube. All you got to do is just type in AM 1150, KKNW, 1150, KKNW, all of those handles. 1150 AM, KKNW would work too. If you want to get a copy of the show, show notes, all the good little juicy links that we will provide with my guests and myself, all you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com. And it says love bumps, because I just want to send you little love bumps in the mail. So I don't spam. I don't do any of that. It's, you know, if I've got some special that is just, I just can't not share, I will do that. Otherwise, I send you a newsletter once a week, and there's some good links in there. There's some great information, some of my favorite finds, details about me, my VIP process, or my VIP program that I have to offer, my masterclass that is going to be happening in May. And then I've got a mini Overcoming Your Trauma Blocks, which will be coming up. It's a little mini 5-day event, and that's going to be broadcast via Zoom. So if that any of those interest you, I'd love for you to be a part of our growing community of like-minded, conscious individuals, women specifically, although I've got some beautiful men that are participating in the whole consciousness and self-help, all that good juicy stuff. Okay. Like we did before, last week we talked about we are starting this whole new segment with awareness, because you guys have heard me talk about this before. Anything and everything that we need to do to better ourselves has got to start with awareness. Awareness versus denial, awareness versus all the isms, the workaholic isms, the avoidance, all of that stuff, the procrastination, all of that stuff. So you have to start in the awareness. And it's, I kind of giggle when I say that, because you have to be aware that you're not aware, right? So some of the things that you can look out for are procrastinations, are denials. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But last show, we talked about what were energy zappers and what were energy givers. And if you missed that, please go back and look at it with some good content and information, helps you bring that awareness into your life. So today we're talking about, it's an inside job, our daily awareness practice, and we're speaking to limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs is awareness of what is holding us up or blocking our progress. And all of it's an inside job. So let me start with just a general definition of what limiting belief is. It quite simply, it's just a state of mind, a belief about yourself that restricts you in some way. Now, a belief is something that you think about over and over and over again that you think is true. Now, if that's a limiting belief and you still think it's true, you got to have that awareness of what that looks like and how that's showing up in your life. There's a number of factors that stem from all basically the same place. It's just your brain's desire to protect you from the pain in the future based on pain that you've accrued from the past. That's the sticky part, right? You've got to be in that awareness that you understand. It's just your nervous system tapping on your shoulder going, no. That freaked us out last time. That scared us last time. No. We're going to keep you safe. So you've got to sit in that, not be in denial, not be in avoidance. You've got to sit in that and go, okay, well, thank you. Thank you for doing a beautiful job, nervous system. That's not true for me anymore. I mean, I literally, and you guys, you might be laughing, but I literally have that conversation with myself. If something's coming up, if I have a trigger that's coming up for me, I'm like, there's that nervous system again. I love you. Thank you for protecting me in the past. It was all in the past and it did its job. And now some more solutions for you. Again, it's awareness and it's that self-check-in. I want to remind you of how these limiting beliefs can be showing up in your life. Perhaps you have a lot of excuses in your life of not wanting to do something, not doing something, or doing something. There's a different variance of limiting beliefs with that. So just have your awareness with excuses, procrastinations, like I talked about a minute ago. Oh, this is a really good one. I know procrastinations has been a sticky one for me. So I have a tendency to do the hard stuff first and then it'll get easier, you know, just kind of, you know, mind tricks for myself. And I'm going to get into that conversation with my guest today, TJ, because we're going to have a deep conversation about that. But let me get back to those, how limiting beliefs can show up. So it's excuses, procrastinations, making assumptions, and complaining about something that's going on in your life. And not only that, when you're complaining and doing these things, your body's getting an emotional charge. And your body is addicted. You've got these chemicals that are releasing and your body's addicted to the drama. So you've got to be aware of that too. It's big, brave work. So in that clarity, you've got to gain that clarity, glean from that clarity and have the big ask. The number one big ask when those things come up, is it really true? Take a deep breath. We talked about self-regulating 7 in, at least 10 out, and do that 3 or 4 times to get your body back to homeostasis so you can stand confident and kind and loving, not only to yourself, but the other person. And then start trusting the new language, trusting the new neural pathways that you're creating and experiencing that. And it's all based on that new self-trust. Okay, that was the juiciness of creating awareness, and it's an inside job, daily awareness. We are going to bring our guest on today, TJ Woodward. I'm so excited. He is a revolutionary recovering expert, best-selling author, inspirational speaker, educator, and addiction treatment specialist who has helped countless people through his simple yet very powerful teachings. I bet he has a lot to say about limiting beliefs. We're going to get to that in just a minute. The creator of the Conscious Recovery Method, a groundbreaking and effective approach to viewing and treating addiction. TJ is also the author of 3 best-selling books and the respective workbooks, Conscious Recovery, Conscious Being, and Conscious Creation. Hi, sweetheart!
Hi, Sue. I'm so happy to be here. I loved your intro. You know, it's so funny. You couldn't see me because I'm off camera, but I'm just lighting up because I often say there are 3 steps: awareness, awareness, and awareness.
Yes, brother.
So I love that synchronicity already.
Oh, I love it. Everything I teach, you know, because I know for myself, I've had my head in the sand. No, I don't want to deal with that. No, I've got so much going on. I can't, I don't want to, you know, we've all been there, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm excited to talk about what I call core false beliefs, which are very similar to limiting beliefs. But what I want to really, I that we can dive into is the difference between working them on a conscious level and working with them on a subconscious or unconscious level. And to me, that's really where the transformation happens. And I love
okay, wait, we got to advocate for the audience because they're going conscious, unconscious. Maybe people have a question. So let's like unpack that a little bit for them if we could. So conscious and then unconscious and then go ahead.
Yeah, I like to use simple analogies. So if you plant a maple seed, you will get a maple tree. And it would be unrealistic to expect an elm tree. So the seed represents what's often buried in the unconscious. In other words, very simply, the parts of ourselves that we might be unaware of. So if I'm unaware of what's in the unconscious, I'm not even aware, I keep going back to your word because I love it,
right?
That the tree that's being grown is based on the core false belief. For example, I walked around, I'm not lovable. And it was not just a thought. It was certainly a thought, but it was also a frequency. It was a body posture. It was physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. And I was literally radiating, I'm not lovable. And not only was I attracting someone, no matter how much work I did on the conscious level, I was attracted to them. And that's the point of power. Oh, I'm choosing this. Not
right there, right there, right there. I am choosing this. You know, it's a big fat permission slip that you have the right, you have the permission to change.
Right.
And to stand, you know, you hear the buzzword, stand in your power, be purposeful. Well, it's about you standing in your power and taking it back versus victimhood, right?
100%. Or as the kids say, 1000%, right? I mean, because, but the key here, I think this is really important. The key here is we're talking about the unconscious choosing most of the time. Most of us aren't even aware. Many of us, let's put it that way. Many of us are pre-awareness stage is I'm not even aware that the core false belief is running the show. Once I'm aware of that, then I can say, oh my gosh, I can start to choose consciously instead of unconsciously. And that's where we do take our power back.
Yeah. The juicy, I call it the juicy stuff. Mm-hmm. Taking our power back. All right, TJ, of course I did the formal bio and then we just jumped in, which I absolutely love and bring it. And I want to know your why. I want the audience to really get to know your energy, your frequency, and what really brought you to where we're at today.
Well, early in my life, I mean, if I go way back, I remember coming into the world absolutely filled with joy and love and connection. Mm-hmm. Coming into a world called planet Earth, I had a series of what I consider to be traumatic experiences that caused me to shut down. Yep. And that shutdown, as you mentioned in the intro, was really, I call them brilliant strategies, formerly known as coping mechanisms. The strategy,
that nervous system.
Yes, the nervous system, yeah. Right? So that shutting down allowed me to protect myself, but it protected me from the love and connection that I truly desired. I discovered a lot of different ways outside of myself to bring relief, drugs, alcohol, shopping, all sorts of things. And I got
the isms.
The isms. And then I got sober really young. I got sober at 20. And I'm the true why is when I was 21 and maybe 18 months sober, so on a spiritual journey, I wanted to kill myself. And that's the deepest reality. And there wasn't a lot in the, at least that I was aware of at that time, of people really looking at the deeper issues, the deeper root causes of not only my addiction, but this outward search. And I met a woman who changed my life and she took me on this spiritual path. I did a spiritual pilgrimage to India. There's so much we can talk about, but the bottom line is I discovered a way out and it saved my life. And now it's my life's purpose to share that with as many people as possible while I'm allowed. And I say,
bring it
to be bring here on it. Planet Earth. Yes.
I love it. I love this conversation too. And you know, for those of you that are listening to us in the radio world, you've got to see this guy. He is just beaming with just love. And I just standing in the rink, you know, Brené Brown, she talks about getting in the rink. And I speak to that a lot. And it was such profound when I first was introduced to her books years ago. I can't remember now, but regardless of all that, that was one of the biggest things, you know, getting in the rink and really showing up, and you're doing that. And it's obvious.
Oh,
so
thank you
very much. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, we could go on so many different tangents and conversations and it, and I, you know, I wrote my newsletter and I was talking about my pilgrimage and my oh shiitake moments. You know, I lean a lot into source. I call it source. It could be purple chopsticks for all incense and whatever you want. If it creates love for you, make that happen. And I was talking about the pilgrimage, and it happened to be moving out of state, then buying a Sprinter van and traveling by myself in a Sprinter van. I didn't know, with my dogs, didn't know what I was doing, where I was going, totally leaning into the pilgrimage, right? And like you did, you went, I wanted to say Nepal, but you know, doing the pilgrimage of going out and doing that is great. However, everything is about you coming back to home. That's where I was going with that, TJ's. You don't have to do those big pilgrimage literally. You do have to do them internally.
Well, that's it, right? Because when I the first time I went to India, I was absolutely intent that India was the answer. And once
right.
I went to India, I was going to have this profound awakening. And I'll tell you what really happened. I was it's amazing because it's like this path that brought me back to myself.
Yes.
And it started with India is going to be this spiritual experience. And I was in my mid-20s and I got there and I had a visceral reaction of pushing away. It was a very, very painful trip. And at the time I thought, well, this wasn't a spiritual journey. This wasn't what I wanted or what I signed up for. Later, I realized that it was about recognizing that it wasn't about an outward journey. And at some point, I realized this was about calling off the external search and returning to our true nature, which I also call source energy, the truth of who we are. It's not out there somewhere. It's truly within. And then once I reconnect and cultivate a relationship with that, then it's everywhere. Suddenly, everyone I see is filled with this light. And then all of the externals, all of the things I had worked so hard to fix, because I'm using air quotes for anyone on the radio, because
thank
I felt
you.
Broken. And I realized, yes. Oh my gosh, it's always been right here.
Yes. Yeah. And I love this conversation too, because there's been many moments in my life. We talk to, and the audience know this, small T traumas, big T traumas. And I just use those as adjective to describe. It's a trauma, for God's sakes. I know it. I've walked the talk. I have them daily. And I've had the big ones, the traumatic things. I think it's important to have that definition and that conversation about what small T traumas are doing on a daily, hourly basis to ourselves. Because those are those little ones that are just like nicks in the wires that we really aren't that conscious of. They happen. And then we're like, either we don't feel them, but it something resonates. There's a reverberation in our body that just didn't feel right. You're nodding your head. Yes.
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, the thing about trauma is when I compare my trauma to someone else's, then I'm not understanding the actual impact of it. So someone might have an experience that one would consider to be a little T trauma, but it actually is a big T for us. And an example of that, I was in kindergarten, it was time for recess, and I couldn't tie my shoes. Now that does not seem like a big event, but it was literally at that moment I decided I was stupid. And I remember freezing, you know, that's one of the trauma responses. I froze, and I can remember right now looking at
the floor
in the kindergarten room. I can see the desks. I can see everything. I can re-experience that trauma over and over again, not because of what happened, but because what I decided about myself and the world when it happened. And that got buried. And this is where we're going to talk about how we actually heal it, because it's not about how I heal it as a 20, 30, or 40-year-old. It's what happened when I was 5. And can I go back and actually allow, just like you said in the intro, can I allow that 5-year-old to actually feel rather than shut down and conclude these big things? Then we can actually start to heal it and have a very different trajectory of our life.
Right. You just put it in a big, huge, pretty bow. Totally. And it is that limiting belief. I'm stupid. I'm not enoughness. Oh God, I've got many of those. I'm not enoughness. You know, the trauma, big trauma or little traumas of, and you know, you talked about it a minute ago about that's how you were showing up in the world. And then your external experiences were validating, again, air quotes, validating those experiences. So then of course you thought everything was happening to you because it was. However, you've got to go inside, check under the hood, my brothers and sisters, and get in there and be aware of the not awareness or the unconscious stuff that's happening within you to really start making those changes. We're going to take a break in just a few minutes, TJ. Let's talk about, I want to save the healing for after. Great. But do you have a story that you can offer to me and the audience about that sticking up, you know, having that awareness or that transformation, really leaning into, oh, that is a limiting belief. Oh, that is a trigger, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember this will tell you how long it was ago. It was I was on the treadmill with one of those big yellow Walkmans. So it was a while ago.
You had one too?
Of course. And I'm on the treadmill and I'm working out and I'm listening to my now friend, Marianne Williamson. But then, of course, I didn't know her. And I was listening to her talking about relationships. And she said, when we switch from why do I keep attracting unavailable people to why am I attracted to them? Everything will change. And I swear to you, Sue, I almost fell off the treadmill. I lost my, it was like I almost fell off. And there was something about just the way she said that, that was a flash. It's not about the relationships. It's about the relationship with self and the core false belief. And at that moment, I really was able to see that I had been walking around with the I'm not lovable core false belief. Of course, I was choosing people who were unavailable, but they were wonderful humans. It's not that they were bad or wrong. And that's what's happening in our culture, how to remove toxic people from your life. And it really is about that. And I know we're going to talk about it after the break, but it's about that deeper healing. When I start to heal the core false belief, the relationships start to shift by themselves.
And yeah, that the external environments. And then you start, like I said earlier, you really, truly start trusting yourself again, because I can't tell you how many people have come to me and like, I just can't trust my choices anymore. I'm like, okay, let's unpack that. And let's have that conversation, right? All right. With that, we are going to take a quick commercial break in Radio World. We're still live on YouTube. We'd love for you to come and join us. Sue, Clarity with Sue, and we will be right back. Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. How does 15 years in the radio industry, solid reputation, high integrity, conscious, mind, body, spirit, focus, organics, and fitness? I am looking for conscious collaborators, an aligned message. Let's get your product and service to the masses. Contact me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Hey guys, Sue here. How does this sound? Releasing your small T trauma blocks. What are small T trauma blocks? Those are those little nicks in your nervous system, those little triggers that pop up that are keeping you diminished, keeping you small, keeping you from your greatest potential. I'm going to be doing a 5-day mini event in April. Let's get together and really have powerful change. Go to claritywithsue.com. That's claritywithsue.com.
Time is funny. Sometimes it seems fast and other times slow. When it comes to time slots remaining on Alternative Talk 1150, time is running out. In fact, there are just a few primetime slots available. So if you want to host your own radio program, the time to call 425-653-1150 is right now. Nope, no time for excuses. Dial 425-653-1150 to find out how affordable it can be to host a radio show. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Hey everyone, Sue Lundquist here with Clarity with Sue, and that's claritywithsue.com. I am talking to you about going from checked out to tapped in. Set your team up and apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find its purpose. I'm going to talk about morale, three phases of transformation, those little nicks in the wire, your beliefs, and really getting present so you have the resilience so you can engage and you can have intentional living. This provides the purpose your team is desiring. Let's get you tapped in and on a unified front with appreciation and building an aligned team and its morale. Simply email me, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
All righty, welcome back to the radio world. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. TJ, oh, this is a good conversation. If you missed us on YouTube, make sure that you sign up for the newsletter and you can follow us on YouTube as well and get the full show. We have been talking about so much conscious, unconscious, the inner world and checking under the hood. I mean, that's the biggest message, right? Is having the courage and the awareness that you're not aware, even though that sounds just crazy. Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah, no, and you know, I spoke once and someone came up to me and said, it sounds like you're victim blaming because you're saying this person keeps choosing these abusive relationships in the most extreme. And what I said is, actually, it's so empowering because we can't really control the world. And God knows I tried, right? I tried that for a long time. My strategy for feeling out of control internally was try to control others. Bottom line is it just didn't work. The empowering piece is I'm choosing this. And this is where she got what some would call triggered and I call activated.
I love that. Yes. Yeah.
And it's really empowering because I can actually go in and change and heal the underlying root causes of these choices I'm making. And then I can actually leave the abusive situation instead of being stuck in it, even if we're going to label it as an abusive situation.
Yeah, it's a contrast, right? When we sit in that contrast, it's all a learning experience. And before we went to break, I wanted to jump in, you know, when you're in this process of the awakening, uncovering, please have so much kindness and love and forgiveness for yourself. TJ's nodding his head. If you're for radio world, he's like, oh yeah, go ahead, TJ.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I was aware that I had been creating my reality unconsciously, the first place I went was blame and self-criticism.
Of course.
Right. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, I have been doing this for X number of years. And then I realized that compassion, forgiveness, and then really being in love with all parts of me, especially the little part of me, the younger part of me who made these decisions at a really early age. And that is really how we start to heal it. We don't heal it cognitively, right? Because, like, for example, when I was 7 years old and I shut down, that was something that I not only decided, my brain wasn't even developed enough for me to understand what was happening. So I don't heal it as an adult through my mind only. That's only part of the process. I have to reconnect and have love and compassion for the 7-year-old.
I love that. You know, and we're going to talk about the healing because this is where all it starts. I had a download years ago and it's the CCs in life. Have compassionate curiosity for yourself and others because it takes that sting out of it, right?
That's right. Curiosity is one of my favorite words. It's, you know, back when I used to work at a treatment center, a group of clients were going to create, they didn't actually do it, but they were going to create t-shirts with all my phrases that I always say.
The TJ-isms.
Right. Be curious, right? Because curiosity expands and judgment constricts. Neither one are right or wrong. What do we want? Do we want to shift? Do we want to grow? Do we want to have the awareness of a different possibility? That's the curiosity. And as soon as I decide something, you know, it's like quantum mechanics. As soon as I decide what it is, it comes into manifestation.
Yes. And again, going to the awareness that, well, no, I want to stay stuck. I like it there. It's right. Safe. You know, I'm getting a reward from it somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, TJ. Yeah.
Well, and having so much compassion, because again, this is the child self. So for example, I could talk about a lot of different things, but one thing that I'll say is when things got difficult in my home, my strategy, which was actually brilliant, was to go in my room, close the door, and go into fantasy or play with my toys or check out. So I didn't realize why, when things were getting intense as an adult, I would automatically check out. And when I realized that it was a strategy that was deeply ingrained, you talked about the neuropathway. It was the groove that I had created. So much compassion. I want to start with gratitude. I have this 4 steps to personal freedom process. Gratitude and looking at all the ways that it has served me. And then I can go into how is it not serving me and what do I truly desire?
I love that. And it's so important to not slide over. You know, I say the negative things. It's again, negative, positive, it's a contrast. You're going to learn regardless. It's you standing in your power, in your purpose, and being consciously aware that you are doing or not doing. And then in those moments, really choosing if it's something that is really a value. Like I talked about, you know, energy depleting or energy giving. And at that point, and that's a personal choice too, and an external with relationships and friendships, right? And having that choice. Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, it comes down to what do I truly desire, right? So once I look at not how do I judge the strategy I've been using, but how can I be grateful for it?
Yes.
How is it serving me? How has it served me? I remember when I came to that, I remember just crying. Like, yeah. Of course I chose that. Of course I've been doing that. And there was this moment of like this very deep compassion for all those years of trying to get the world to love me so I could feel safe, so I could feel okay. And I remember crying and thinking, oh my gosh, of course I did that. Now I can look at the ways that it's not bringing me what I truly desire. I was so desperate for love and connection, but I was walking around with my umbilical cord trying to plug it into empty wells.
Yes,
and it wasn't, there was nothing wrong. These people were amazing, but I was like, oh, let me find the most unavailable person and try to plug in. When I look at it now, I can see the, you know, sort of insanity of it, but that compassion is like, not only was I doing the best I can, but I really wanted love and connection so desperately to try to heal these core false beliefs.
Oh, brilliant. Talk to me about, well, best-selling author and all of this beautiful juiciness. And we could go on. It's conscious recovery, conscious being, conscious creation. Intuitively, where would you like this conversation to go and to provide a really strong solution and providing our guests and me too, because I learn a lot from you as well. Providing that, my language, intimacy on a whole new level. It's my buzzword for me, and reclaiming, redesigning, and rediscovering yourself. And it is intimacy on a whole new level.
Conscious Creation is my newest book. I promised myself I'd never be the person that has a 4-step, 6-step, 8-step process, but here it is. 5 steps to embracing the life of your dreams. And I use the acronym MOVIE. Based on the knowledge of what we've been talking about, that I'm holding the camera and I'm projecting onto a blank screen and calling it reality. And the first 2 steps, so it's MOVIE, the first two steps
love it.
Are making peace with the past and overcoming core false beliefs. And that's really what we've been talking about, because I can't, to use a mixed metaphor, I can't really paint a portrait. The portrait I want to create, if I'm painting over the old portrait, it's going to seep through. I'm going to continue to see it. So making peace with the past and overcoming these core false beliefs is the first 2 steps.
Oh, I love that. And great example, great analogy, because people can really, for me, I'm very tactile. And of course, we're in the radio world. So giving good, solid analogies and examples is super valuable. Talk to me about what's happening in your life, personally and professionally. Where are you going with this beautiful next journey and this another baby that you've just had, right?
Well, you know, I do a lot of different things. My passion is speaking and facilitating. I facilitate trainings in addiction and behavioral health treatment programs. I have a great passion for that, because the industry, looking back, has tended to look at what's broken about someone and how we help fix them. And I'm coming in and saying, wait a minute. What if we were to start saying what is whole and perfect about this person? What are the core false beliefs? These strategies, what if they are brilliant? What if the addiction, what if the overeating or undereating, or the sex or the shopping or all the things, what if those are brilliant strategies? And really the recovery is about returning to our place of wholeness. I just got back from a 2-day training in Colorado, and my gosh, it was so powerful. Clinicians realizing, what if this could be a lot easier and more effective? Let's empower the person instead of thinking it's my job to fix them. So I'm most excited about that.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Oh, so many things came to my mind when you were saying that, because I've had guests too that, this one in particular, she's on a mission to go to the clinicians with that book mentality, right? And say, no, there's so many other ways. And what came up for me, TJ, was the kindness method, and showing you, and what is it? She talks about the paper clips. Are you familiar where, you know, you have a handful of paper clips, and as you do good or you have wins in your life, you put it in your other pocket. So at the end of the day, it could be paper clips. I use buttons, you know, little flat buttons. Mm. And then I fill my jar full of buttons, you know?
Love that.
Yeah. Because I ain't going to get my buttons pushed, right?
And if you do,
if I do,
I know that that is really a request for healing.
Yes.
You know, as soon as I realized that the buttons were being pushed so that I could heal, I was almost welcoming them. Oh yeah, come on, let me get triggered/activated so that I can look at what's wanting to be healed. I absolutely love that. And then I'm no longer saying, I want to reject this and embrace that. I mean, that's the Buddhist definition of suffering, right? Clinging to and averting from. And when I'm in the curiosity, something else emerges that's so different, a different way of living.
Okay, and this is me doing live TV on YouTube, and my dog's growling and barking because there's somebody out front.
It's a beautiful thing, you know, really is.
It is. So if you hear Levi, he's protecting us. Yeah, that's my boy, Levi. All right. Let me remind everybody how to get a hold of you. You can go to tjwoodward.com, of course, on the website, and Amazon and all the other book outlets to get your book. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you go to tjwoodward.com, it's all there with links.
It's all there, including programs, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of those beautiful links to get you connected. What is coming to mind? Going back to triggers. And, you know, this has been a conversation that I've had for a few years, not only with educators, myself, other people, all the stuff. And I say this because I have personally witnessed it. When somebody says to me, well, you're triggering me because of their insecurity, because of their fear. Can we have that conversation to really empower our audience again to say, hey, you know what? It's not. They haven't lived your life, sweetheart. They really haven't. If you're getting triggered, or what's your word, love?
Activation.
Activated. If you're getting activated, then that's an opportunity for you to sit in that and go, okay, let's take a look at that. See season life, right? Get curious.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll start with the provocative statement, and that is, no one can trigger me. Only I can do that. But let's sort of unpack that a little. When I shifted, because when we think about triggers, we tend to think of externals. My mom triggers me. My job triggers me. CNN or Fox News trigger me. You know, all of the externals. When I realize that something is actually getting touched, Don Miguel Ruiz, I believe it's in his book, The Four Agreements, says, it's not your words that harm me. It's that you have touched an unhealed wound. And I will actually take it a step further. Hopefully that's okay with him.
Yes, that's brilliant.
By saying it's getting touched because it's wanting to heal. So when I unplug from the externals and say what's getting touched, what's getting activated, that's the place that I can start to work with it and heal it. Because as we already talked about, if I believe my mom is triggering me, because I will tell you right now, all of my 20s was my mom is triggering me. And if I try to control her, it just doesn't work. But if I'm looking at what's getting touched, I can realize that it's calling for, you know, Course in Miracles says everything is love or a request for love. So we could say everything is a request for healing. How do I actually heal this? So my mom, it's like, wow, miraculous healing in the relationship because I no longer wanted to control her and think she was the problem.
Oh, yeah. Doggone it, TJ. Shiitakes. I'll say shiitake mushrooms. Yeah, that whole sticky mom and dad stuff. Yeah, I'm going to do this for TV World, put on the blinders. Yeah, I know.
I remember having lunch one time with my mom and my two sisters and watching my mom would say something and my sister would get so activated. And I was like, I have nothing on that. But if she said something else, it would be mine. Right.
Right.
Like, how dare you? So it's like, it's really not what they're doing. And that's the greatest freedom. It's the greatest freedom to say, what is the request for healing here? And how do I tend to that rather than focusing on what's happening in the world? And think about that globally. I mean, imagine the entire world takes a deep breath at this moment and says, how do I heal? Look at social media. Right? You know.
Yes, I do, TJ.
Because here's my bold statement. I don't think we live in a polarized country. I think we've been programmed to have polarized thinking. Good.
Yes. Bring it on. Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody how they can get a hold of you. We've got a few more minutes and then I'm gonna pull a card from Source. If you want to hang out, you can. It's super
Absolutely.
Fun. Okay. It's www.tjwoodward.com. He's got Conscious Recovery, Conscious Being, Conscious Creation. And what was the acronym?
Movie.
Moving. I love that. I love that. And somehow I've got to get a copy, TJ. I don't know why I didn't get a copy.
Send me your address and I will mail you one. That'll be
yes. A little love note on the inside. That would be absolutely delicious. We talked about limiting beliefs. I think all of that can show up in a toxicity. You talk a lot about overcoming toxicity and that healing aspect. Is there something that intuitively you want to tap into before we head out?
Yeah. I mean, what I want to say is beyond any thought you have about yourself in the world, there's Source is who you are truly. It's how you came into the world. And this journey is really twofold for me. It's cultivating a relationship and returning to an awareness that that's who we actually be. That's how I say it. And then it's also pretty much unlearning everything we've ever been taught that's counter to that. So it's cultivating the relationship with the essential self and unlearning all those limiting beliefs.
Oh, unlearning. Again, it's that double-edged sword kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say that with humor and love. I don't say that with that heavy negative connotation, right?
Yeah.
And because again, going to what we talked about at the top of the hour, you have to be aware that you're not aware.
Right.
Look at the excuses. Look at the triggers, right? Excuses, trigger, procrastination. Do you have an example? I'm trying to remember them all.
Just, you know, I would say anything that feels like an outer search, right? You know, trying to get more of this or that, or, you know, trying to manipulate or control the world. Are you ranting on social media? What would it be like to sit with the emotion instead of having the reactive impulse? I mean, to me, the greatest freedom I can ever experience is the freedom from the reactive impulse.
Yes, right there. Ooh, let's unpack that because again, we're going into chemical releases and your body's getting rewards, right? And you're like, oh, no, I like that stuff. That stuff feels good. Well, that stuff is keeping you stuck and keeping your body addicted to the drama, the soapbox, that stuff. Go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, and when we take the rightness and wrongness out of it and say, oh, look, this is what I'm doing. What am I getting from that? And what do I truly desire? It's not bringing me more love and connection when I'm ranting on social media or judging someone. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can keep doing it. It's available to me at any moment. But if I truly desire to be a powerful creator of my life and truly desire love and connection, learning how to be present with what is actually taking me where I want to go instead of continuing the process that you're talking about, reaction, dopamine, all of the stuff, right? That we can be addicted to.
Yes. Yes. Oh gosh, you said something and I wanted to unpack and I can't remember what it was. That's okay. It'll come back. But yeah, having those chemical releases and the dopamines, and that's a whole nother rabbit hole we could go down, but I'm just kind of doing a surface spread there for people. Cause you have chemical releases and then you're creating new, neural pathways. We've got about 6-7 minutes. Habits, good or bad, keep popping up because I think that's a huge process of the healing. Can we have that conversation, TJ?
Yeah. I mean, if we look at a habit as a, what I call a brilliant strategy, the brilliant strategy is managing the core false belief. So let's not look at the, for me, it's like, let's not look at the habits as good or bad. Let's look at what they're managing. You know, we send people to anger management classes, and rather than telling them to manage the anger, can we say, what is the anger managing? And when we look at what it's managing, then we can say, oh, is the anger actually serving me? Because most of it, as we said, is an unconscious, you know, I'm in the neural pathway, the automated or automatic response. When I unplug from all those habits and say, what's really happening here? The habits actually start to change. I used to be a procrastinator. I am anything but that now, as I healed the core false belief, because I thought I wasn't worthy. So why do anything?
Yes. Right. And it's never going to get better. Or why do I even bother? Or, you know, yes, all of that. That's a really good example. And also add in societal foods, caffeines, you know, dehydration. People, drink your water. Drink your quality water, please. I know we're both, I know right here too, drinking it all up. Okay. 3-4 minutes and then I'll pull a card. Actually, the card already pulled itself. So I'm excited for you to see what this is. It kind of, I love this. I purposefully pulled the source cards before the show because I like to see the communication, the validation that comes from source, because it just does. And it's beautiful. Not blaming ourselves, we talked about conscious and unconscious. We talked about the limiting beliefs, how the healing begins. We talked about compassionate curiosity, getting really curious and compassionate with yourself. We talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. And of course, gratitude. I mean, that gratitude for me, that's like the fundamental. That's one of my core values, my foundation. It's gratitude for good, bad, or indifferent, because I'm still, and when you come from that state, like you were talking about, TJ, if you can come from a place, a being, a state of being of gratitude, yes, he's clapping his hands, everybody on Radio World.
Yeah, I talk about the three levels of gratitude. It's grateful for, which is what a lot of people say. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. Grateful in, and you said this beautifully too, I can be grateful in the midst of anything happening, but you spoke to something that very few people really do, and that is grateful as. So being the frequency of gratitude, no matter what. And that doesn't mean we're in denial of what's happening in the world, but
that's really important to say. That's
Because, you know, I think sometimes people hear, oh, I'm just going to be like, just grateful no matter what. Well, yes, I am. But it's not pretending the conditions aren't happening in the world, but what is more effective to shift that? So being the frequency of gratitude as a starting point, then we shift from the law of attraction to the law of radiance.
Yes, tapped in and turned on, baby. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes. And having that gratitude, and I've got a quick example before I share the card with you. And it's again, showing up in that frequency and showing up, you're choosing to show up. So if you, and it's chemical releases and all this stuff, but just bear with me here. So as my kids were growing up, you know, society says you hear an aid car, oh my God, something's wrong. You have that instant response. And I would, and have taught them, Oh, no, no, no. We're not going to do that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to open our heart and we're going to send them blessings. So every single time I hear a, you know, fire hydrant or an aid car, I go into that frequency because, come on, TJ, you and I both know there's a whole bunch of trauma happening and there's all kinds of stuff happening over there, sticky stuff. So sending blessings, sending gratitude, sending love as that frequency, it just is better for me, you know, for everybody.
It creates more connection. It creates more love in the world. Sometimes it becomes so profoundly simple. Am I fighting the world or am I loving the world? What do I want? What do I want to choose today?
Yes. And you said, and I speak to this a lot too. It's truly, what do you desire?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a simple question. What do you desire? Wait, really?
And I used to desire drama and now I desire love and connection. Oh, I can create either one of those right here in here. This moment. Because this is the only moment we create anything.
We're so good at creating, TJ. I love this.
That's right. I love it too, Sue. This is so much fun.
I know this is. And please, and I mean this wholeheartedly, let me know how I can keep playing in the ring with you and supporting you and all of this. Because this conversation needs to be had over and over and over again. You know, it's that squeaky wheel that, you know, new thoughts, new ideas, new you. And it's so important. It is checking under the hood and understanding yourself. And it's big, brave work. I say that all the time.
Anytime you want to have a part two, a part three, a part four, you just let me know. I love this.
Oh, let's do it, darling. Yeah. Let's do it. We'll make it happen. Okay. So I'm going to remind everybody about and how to get a hold of you and your books. And then I've got this beautiful source message. www.tjwardwoodward.com. You can get books, you can get retreats, conversations, speaking gigs. You want him to come to you? Absolutely. Please reach out to him. And of course, reminding all of you as this live show, then we're going to be going over to podcast world. And if you enjoyed it as much as I do, I want a 6-star rating. So does TJ, bringing everybody. I say 6-star because why not reach for the stars. Yeah. Air quotes, right? I love it. I love it. I love it. And to remind all of you, if you want a copy of the show, of course, go to claritywithsue.com and you will get the love bumps right into your inbox. And that is fun as well. All right. So TJ, when I was telling you earlier that I had pulled the card and I love, and of course, audience, you know this just as well as I do. I pull a card and I've got a bunch of different cards from source that I pull from. And so I lean into it and say, all right, where's the message coming from? Today, it happens to be coming from the moon oracles. And the card that I pulled today is surrender to the divine. And that is a full moon oracle card, which means the very word climax brings all sorts of ideas and images to mind. I like that. Agreed, of course. But it really is the feeling of the card. Life is coming to a head, a point, a conclusion, or a turning point. There may be some kind of change, which bring it on, love and grace, and possibly even some sort of emotional explosion. Isn't that interesting that we talked about triggers and emotional explosions, all of that? It's all in love, right? Tune into your emotions now and see what they are really telling you, exactly what TJ was just talking about. They're very close and to the surface, no matter when the moon cycle, you've pulled this card for a reason. So really just check in, tap in, and of course, buy TJ's books. With all of that, I love you guys. I will see you next week. TJ, thank you so much. And yes, we're going to be doing this again. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Yes, thank you. All right, you guys, we'll see you next week. And until then, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.